In this text of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives us a very practical tip, which, although it is so practical and so easy to understand, is sometimes quite difficult to execute and apply. And I will soon give you a few situations from the common experience of all of us, where we understand just how difficult it is to bring the wandering and unsteady mind under our control. The mind, as we all have experience, is a place where feelings take place. Thinking, feeling, and willing is also in classical psychology known as the functions of the mind. And feelings or emotions seem to not always be under our control. Or let me put it more simpler. It is not always, it seems to not be possible to tell your emotions what to feel. For instance, an unhappy man can't tell his mind, now be happy, and he's happy. Also, negative emotions seem to not be always under our full control, but we are controlled by them. There is a verse in the 6th canto, chapter 4, text 14, which compares emotions with flashes or lightning which fall from the sky. It's just like you cannot tell the lightning where it should fall, when it should fall. It seems emotions have the same rule to them. I would like to read to you that the verse and the translation.
Yasamut patitam deha akashan manyumulbanam atma yigyasayayachet sagunan ativartate.
It says, one who inquires into self-realization and thus subdues his powerful anger transcends the influence of the modes of material nature. And then there's a description what this emotion anger is. Anger awakens suddenly in the body as if falling from the sky. And one is angry. I'm sorry to shock you a little bit. Another feeling which we seem to not always have under our control is the feelings of affection towards another person. All of a sudden we may walk through Zagreb and we will see a person in a particular situation, which is maybe very human, and without us really having planned so, this emotion of affection takes control over us, and we fall in love with a stranger. This, in a temple environment, can also happen very easily. Devotees may try to keep the separation of the different genders, male and female, intact in their lives. But they see, for instance, a boy may see a mataji going regularly in the temple, and without having spoken anything, all of a sudden there is the arisal of strong feelings of affection and love, so strong that they occupy Sisigonitai ki jai. That these emotions occupy the respective devotee throughout the whole night, and he fantasizes about this, and he is either encouraged by this emotion or even sometimes also troubled, because the emotion seems to be out of place. It doesn't feel proper to develop such a feeling. So I would really like to say, to ask a provocative question today. Can you tell your mind what to do? Or putting it a little bit more intense, can you tell your feelings what to feel? Krishna here says that when we see that our mind and our feelings go to a place which is not favorable for our spiritual advancement, we should bring it back under the control of the self. But is this possible? This question is now will now be discussed. We hear that this seems to be a very difficult project. We hear, for instance, many Puranic stories of great saints who all of a sudden were overcome by lust. I know the story of Jamadagni, a great self-control, a great yogi who one day told his spiritual master, "Guru Maharaj, I think I have controlled lust now." His spiritual master was Vyasadeva, and he smiled, almost like, how do we say, "Videmo se"? Yeah. Videcemo. So it is described that Vyasadeva, in order to show his disciple that one should not claim proudly that one is in control of ananga, the disembodied lust, appeared to him in a disguise of a beautiful sattvi, that is a female saint. Yamadagni invited this person, she was really very, very beautiful, to spend a night with him in his ashram, because Jamadagni met this lady in the midst of the forest when the night was approaching, and he knew that in the jungle in the night time there are wild animals, it's so dangerous, so he naturally extended an invitation to her, "Please stay with me." And then the mystical potency of Vyasadeva, it became stormy, and a wind was coming, and it was raining, so Jamadagni invited the beautiful saintly lady in his house, and then as they were sleeping next to each other, about 2 meters apart from each other, all of a sudden Jamadagni felt very, very high romantic pullings, so much desire was entering his heart. He had never felt these emotions towards any women he had ever seen, and he lost all control. He went over to her and started his romantic interlude or play by touching her face, And as he touched the face of this most beautiful woman, he all of a sudden felt in his hand a beard. Stole. No, what is stole? Is her name? What? What is this? How do we say this? Stoite. You speak too softly, Alan, but next time you could speak louder. Whatever it is. What is this? He went and put the light on the oil lamps and he saw his spiritual master Vyasadeva lying in this bed where this most beautiful saintly lady was lying, and Vyasadeva just smiled at him and said, "It's very difficult to control lusty emotions." Chalatagni said, prostitute. he really felt very, very embarrassed, as we all can understand. And yes, it is proven. Or anger. The great saint Yamadagni had been overwhelmed by anger at one time. Can you tell your feelings what to feel? Is it possible to follow Lord Krishna's advice here in the Bhagavad Gita? Let us for a moment put this question at rest. I'm looking for a piece of paper to mark this place in the book. Maybe you can, just a very small time. Yes, this is fine. Thank you, Gaurahari, for surrendering even your paper. What are emotions and how do they connect with our subtle body? Let us raise this question for a little while. In Sankhya philosophy, the mind is compared to be a lake, and emotions are said to be vrittis, or to be more clear in English, waves, thought waves, which appear on the lake of the mind. When there is some external stimuli or also an internal stimuli, that means we remember something which we have previously seen or experienced. You can just imagine a lake, a clear lake, and the wind comes on this lake, and then some waves are built by the stimuli or stimulus of the wind. So in the same way, our mind can be churned or agitated by some outside stimuli, maybe a frustration of a desire which we have, or maybe we see something very unpleasant or something very pleasant, and then we develop an emotion. Now, this is one very general description. The yoga philosophy goes a little bit more in the detail. And because I feel that emotional maturity is such an important subject for the devotees in Krishna consciousness, I will take you a little bit through the yoga philosophy. For some of you it will be a little complicated. Don't worry, just listen and try to understand. See, in our subtle body there are different energy centers which we all know about. When we, someone falls in love, he will touch his heart area. He will not touch his head unless and until it's a fiasco, you know, from the very beginning, which can happen. But he usually feels, why does he touch his heart? Because in this heart, there is the subtle mind, but there is also an emotion placed, which is placed there on the Anahata chakra, the heart chakra, and which is a quite mature emotion, like love and compassion for others and so on. The lowest chakra is the Muladhara chakra. It is I don't know if I should take you through anatomy. It is the lowest part of our pelvis. It's you know where our private parts are. And this Muladhara chakra is related to feelings of security, of survival, a sense of our own safety, and in general, our existence. People who are mostly concerned about security, survival, that means eating and sleeping, they are emotionally seen on the lowest level, which is necessary. Lowest, I don't mean here as a qualification, but just as an anatomical situation. When this chakra or these emotions are blocked, the natural result is that we are afraid of our existence. We feel a deep sense of insecurity. We fear, we are also afraid of death. And we are also afraid of a loss of control over our lives. When there is a removal of the blockage of this emotion, or an opening of the chakra, we feel really at home in our body. We feel a feeling of security, we feel well with ourselves, and we feel a sense of groundedness. Do you know what is groundedness? It's a little difficult word. Groundedness, how do we feel, say this in... Yeah. Many spiritual people, by the way, don't have this very much. They are a little ethereal. They are not so connected with this energy, because it is very much connected to the element earth, the most gross element. When you look around in this room here, you can find many are a little insecure. I should say something very critical, they feel a little attacked. because it's natural. We as spiritual people, we as you will see soon, we are feeling more, we don't feel so much at home in our bodies. We feel... material life is, you know, there's a miserable, sometimes miserable, you know, the body has to die, you know, and we are really not the body. Huh? Does it sound familiar, these statements? And we feel we have material happiness and security. That's a joke, that's not existent. We feel like this. Let us move on to the Svadhisthana chakra. Now you have to empower me. Can I speak openly about this, or is this too much for you? No problem. Ellen, no problem. Good. This, it gets now intense. No problem. Good. This has to do with sexuality. Or, to to tell it in a different way, the desire in a human being to create, to be generative is the English word. When this chakra, or emotion you could say, if this is too esoteric for you, this emotional center is blocked, you really are very blocked when it comes to the subject matter. You can't talk naturally about it. What you also feel, in German you say you are verklemmt. One is a little verklemmt, I think the word says it. But also, what it means, if this is not proper, perverse ideas enter your mind. I will not give examples for this. Now, when there is an opening of this emotional center in your body, you often experience a flooding of sexual images. You begin to fantasize, you will have dreams, and you feel some sensations. Feeling is very much connected with the element water. Let us move on a little higher to the Manipura chakra, or that center which has to do with the willpower. It's also called the social chakra. When this is blocked, you feel a feeling of tension, of tightness, of being afraid. And when this emotional center gets released and opened, you feel a feeling of frustration, even rage. Oh, this was not right, this was not fair, and so on. When it gets released, you feel a feeling of strength, and you become very spontaneous in your life, in your expression, and you begin to feel a feeling of clarity in your life. Things become clear. I would say this feeling of, these things are necessary to organize a society, and in our ISKCON society, we experience that many devotees feel that it's time to correct the mistakes of the past, to voice the frustrations of wherever it did not work well on the social platform, and to make a good society. Human society at the present moment in the history of mankind is, as far as their emotions are concerned, very much interested in these emotions. We want to build a global village. Have you heard these words? Global civilization. We want to interact with each other properly. We want to be social. I would like to come to two other emotional centers. One is what spiritual people feel very often, and what is good. It's what is in the Anahata chakra. Very often when it happens to me when I give public lectures, people come to me and thank me. This is when I have my good moments. I have not always my good moments. And they say, "You touched my heart. You seem to be a person who comes very much from the heart." And it is true, when I'm not under stress and when I'm not under pain or so on, then this is the Anahata chakra is very much working in my life. That's good for preachers. People can feel them. when the preacher comes from this area, people who hear him can also become influenced, and their heart opens and they say, let us listen to this person. Love and compassion are situated in this heart, and when it is blocked, which happens often, there are feelings of loneliness. One feels unconnected to one's surroundings, and one has a feeling of longing. I would like so much this. Oh, I'm still alone. I need to marry. You know, this very human feeling of longing comes out. But longing with a feeling of grief. Huh? When this emotion gets opened, one feels often a feeling of compassion, or when one is a spiritual person, one feels sorry for one's mistakes. I'm very sorry. But this feeling is not a feeling which comes with grief, but it's a relief. Oh, finally I can feel sorry, and I can say, I'm very sorry, Krishna. We can go to our spiritual master. I was so blocked in my relationship to you. Please excuse me, that happens. I'm a weak human being, but I'm developing. Something is happening, and so on. And we feel these feelings of others are suffering. I want to help them. I can't stand that such and such devotee always looks so miserable. Let me go to him and say, can I help you? And so on. When it is opening, there is also another dimension where one can feel the sweetness of love very, very nicely in the heart. One feels the world is a nice place, and one believes in the goodness of the human being, and one wants to help that this goodness comes more out, and so on and so forth. This emotion is connected to air. It's a little lofty. Lofty is a difficult English word. How do we say this? What? Yes. Whatever. So I will jump now over two important chakras. The one which is responsible for communication, creativity, and so on. If you are interested in this, we can maybe deal with them in the question and answer session. Chakra which is good for yogis, the Agya Chakra, which is here, it's for vision and for understanding. I would like to come to the Sahasra Chakra. This is here. The emotions which are here have a lot to do with enlightenment. Something is clear to you. You feel this, I got it. Krishna's milos, Krishna's milos. You know, it is, when it is blocked, you feel out of place in your life. When there is an opening, you feel almost like a powerful, clear light coming in you. You have a feeling like the cosmos dances in harmony. I don't know if some of you, if you have real, if you have these feelings, but it's a very, very wonderful and almost mystical feeling. And I know many of my God brothers who tell me of experiences before they came to Krishna consciousness, where it seemed that there was an opening. The mystical experience which you can find in all the world's, let me say, enlightenment literature, is that you all of a sudden see the harmony of all things, how everything goes together and is really under Krishna's control. Yes, this feeling of everything is like a huge, let me say, a huge scenario which is totally and entirely moved by the Lord. I want to make a very important note here to all of you. There I will tell you a little bit about my private hobby. I like to compare the spiritual experiences of different traditions with each other. I'm sorry, but I have this curiosity. Like to also see where is my own experience of Krishna consciousness. Are there similar examples in other traditions? And also I like to see how well is it going with my spiritual enlightenment. I do not want that spiritual life is only a mental theoretical exercise. It should touch the whole being and also the emotions. I feel this is important. So Christian mystics, yogis, the dervishes, that means the saints in the Sufi tradition, people who follow the Jewish Kabbalah, all describe these openings of the emotional centers. It is not definite, it's not necessarily an experience which is spiritual per se. But as a person advances spiritually, it is naturally seen that these good qualities and good emotions, yas yasti bhakti bhagavat akinchana, follow his spiritual advancement. You will rarely find a person who has perverse thoughts because totally selfish to be spiritually advanced. Rather, you will see a spiritual advanced person naturally showing feelings of compassion. Srila Prabhupada always comes to my mind. Srila Prabhupada once called... this is so moving, this example. He once called his servant Shruti, please help me, Shruti Kirti to him in his room. It was in Vrindavan, and he pointed towards the floor and he said, "This insect has not moved for 1 hour." Shruti Kirti looked. And yes, there was a little thing like a fly, you know, some unknown species. Prabhupada said, this means he's extremely hungry. Gladam. He's in my room, we must feed him. So Shruti Kirti didn't know, what should he do? Should he bring a plate of prasadam? How to feed the insect. And Prabhupada said, no. You please now lift the insect up and you bring him to this flower over there and it will eat from the pollen of the flower. Like here you see these beautiful flowers. This part is enjoyable to the insect. Let me see that I don't rip it apart. This part here. The interior of the flower, or here inside. So Shruti Kirti dutifully brought this insect to the interior part of the flower so that it could eat and be sufficiently hosted in Srila Prabhupada's room. This is compassion. This is feeling of, this is a sign of a very advanced person. They naturally show these openings of the emotions. Also, emotionally very strong people in this world can feel these openings. And as you advance in spiritual life, you are sometimes surprised that all of a sudden something happens. For instance, that you get angry and full of rage. Have you felt this at times? And you were wondering, what is happening? It means something is happening in your emotional body. Or all of a sudden you feel, I have so much feelings of attraction to the opposite sex. What is happening with me? I was previously not so like this. Often devotees came to me and said, Maharaj, what is happening to me? I was a very good boy, and now all of a sudden when I see Mataji, I go like, what is wrong here? And I said, you are in the process. Wait, it will go away, but something is working here on you. This much we can say. So, let me summarize. I didn't want to make you all bewildered by this, or bewildered is not the word, but I didn't want to bring you all on the mental platform or emotional platform. My purpose in telling you this is to tell you a little bit about emotions and how complex it is, and where they are situated, what happens when they are blocked, and what happens when the blockages are opening, and what feelings are there. I think I could go much, much more into the detail, but this would be a seminar on its own, and I really don't think it is very helpful if we go too much in the detail. But I think you now know that the emotions and how they come and go, a very complex subject matter, which is not entirely under your own control. They come and so on. But now it will become very important. Please listen very carefully. If you miss this little Ali or Medyutim, you will miss the point of the whole lecture. So please concentrate now very intensely. What is under your control is your response to them. Especially if you learn a little bit a technique, which I will explain to you now, how to respond maturely to your emotions. I would like to introduce to you something which could save your own spiritual life, or at least make your spiritual advancement much, much, much faster and much more healthier than it may be at the present time. One scholar, he is a friend, is maybe too much, he's known to me, and we have very dear feelings for each other. It's Professor Klostermann, or Klostermeyer. He wrote this very important textbook, Survey of Hinduism. It's a classic. It has become a classic in universities all over the world. He came to Vrindavan as a Catholic scholar. And the church had sent him to write about Hinduism, but more to write like this, you know. We, our Christianity is the best, and Hinduism is very low class in comparison. But in Vrindavan, he met the devotees of Krishna. He describes about this in his book, Christ and Christ and Krishna in Vrindavan, something like this. And he saw how wonderful these devotees are, and he saw how deep the theology of Vaishnavism is, and he became a secret adorer and lover of Krishna. He really thinks this is wonderful. And he wants... said in the conference of the the United States, Srila Prabhupada was a yogi a bhakti yogi who was not afraid of emotions. And he said, this is the strength of bhakti. Yet you are not afraid of emotions. In fact, on a mature state, you use your emotions in your spiritual life as being very favorable to you. I will give you now the little help. The first step is you need to recognize your own emotions. Look at what they are. Are you frustrated in your spiritual life? Then find out, yes, I'm frustrated. Don't gloss over them. We often say, don't be mental. This is correct. But, you know what's going on. Because, my dear devotees, if you do not do something with your mind and make it your friend, it will remain your biggest enemy at times. So first of all, you need to know what is there. How am I working? And then you need to know a little technique. When there are negative emotions, calm down. Just say, be a little emotionally mature. These emotions come and they will go. Calm down. But if you don't learn to recognize your emotions, you will always be ruled by your emotions. You don't know what is happening to you. So first of all, identify them. And then when they are there, calm down. The third thing which I would recommend to you for your emotional maturity is use your emotions in order to motivate yourself. For instance, a very good emotion in spiritual life is our idealism, or I can give it another word which is more familiar with you. The hope is called Ashabandha in Sanskrit. This hope has brought you to Krishna consciousness. Huh? We all have the hope I can become a devotee. No? At least we had it. Virachanda. Strong hope. It's a very important spiritual feeling. The moment hope leaves you, then what are you? Just a functioning body. Hope is very much connected with another very important feeling in spiritual life, which is the beginning of your spiritual life. What is that? Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Veda. Vera, faith. It's an emotion. No? I trust this. It's a very important emotion which is born when we are with other people and we think this is they're good people. I mean, this is good. I felt this when we were Ripua had arranged a very nice, staying place where we stayed in this house. And the lady told me she saw Gaurahari and she thought he's a good person. He smiles, he says Dobro Yutro at the right moment. in the morning, isn't it? Did you say Dobro Yutro? In the evening you said it. Dobro vecher. Evening. In the evening you said dobro vecher. In the evening. She mentioned morning or the evening you said the right thing. She became, she thought these are good people. We can trust them. and she told me all about her family situation, and I have to pray now for Josip, that's her husband. Every day I'm doing, he's on my prayer list, because Josip was smoking too much, and now he has a heart problem, and we must pray for Josip. And she even washed Gaura Hari's cloth. Isn't it? Yeah. Voluntarily, she doesn't have to do it. She thought, these are good people, I have faith. And then I preached to her, you know, about God in I didn't say Krishna, because she is a Catholic lady, so I said God, and she listened, and she had sometimes tears of ecstasy in her eyes. Yes, it's immediately faith. This is a pious person. You know, it's a good person. You could see immediately a very pious lady. And she was proud of her monk people who stayed at her. And we must come next year. It's already clear. And so on and so forth. So Shraddha, this faith and hope, is very important. And now I will take you a little bit to psychology. Don't worry, it won't be late. Have you heard of the marshmallow test? There's something very important for emotional security. The marshmallow test, what is it? There was a very important investigation done, because one could see that people, one wanted to see when do people feel secure and successful in their lives. And it was found out that usually people who can work and go through a period where they don't get the fulfillment of their immediate desires, but who can wait until their desires are fulfilled, they usually become very successful in their lives. Those who are, when there is a desire and who immediately want the fulfillment of the desire, they can never be secure in their lives. They are always up and down. And the test was done with 4-year-old people. Small children, maledetses. It was done in a school class. And it said, you will get a lollipop. Do you know what is a sweet? A sweet. You can choose. If you want the sweet immediately, you get it immediately. And if you can wait for half an hour, that's long for a 4-year-old child, you will get 2 sweets. So most of the children said, give it immediately. Half an hour, that's an eternity. Now the same type of people, the same people were revisited 12 years later. That means when they were 16 years of age, teenagers. And it was seen that those children who could wait for the immediate gratification, they were much, much stronger and more self-conscious. Let me translate this to all of you now into Krishna conscious language. Those who are able to perform some tapasya, that means some voluntary renunciation in their lives, and who do not always go for the immediate gratification of this lipstick and fast sex culture, they will be stronger in their mind and much more with themselves or self-consciousness. We learn this in our scriptures, that Ninam cha adyam, those, those, the human form of life is given to us for tapasya, because by tapasya, that is voluntary renunciation, we are purifying our spiritual existence. And it's known, by tapasya, you can get anything in your life, even the kingdom of God. If you, I mean, this is Krishna. I would have to explain this, even the kingdom of God, a little bit longer, but I don't do it now because you have heard millions of lectures. If this is not clear, you can speak with others about it. It's something more needs to be said about this. But let me bring this, however, here. Let us not lose the thread. When emotions overwhelm you, recognize what they are, and then use other emotions like hope or Shraddha if they are not entirely favorable to you. Now, don't always think, if there is an emotion, I have to act. This is the intelligence of the four-year-old children in the school class who wanted immediate gratification of their desires for sweets. This doesn't bring you anywhere in life. When there is an emotion of want, find out what it is. Find out if it is favorable for your spiritual purpose. And then sometimes use a little tapasya, renunciation, and in the meantime develop positive emotions. In the remainder, that means the last part of my lecture, I will talk about these development of positive emotions. What I have said so far is yoga psychology and normal psychology. It's not spiritual, but it helps us to analyze our situation. Now I will introduce you to spiritual psychology, or the beginnings of, there's a lot to be said about this, but let me say spiritual philosophy I will use. In the Bhagavad Gita, we find that we have an instrument in our hands which will help us to move from the lower levels of emotions, which are controlled by the lower gunas, the tama and rajas, to a higher level. The instrument is bhakti yoga. I will explain to you a little bit more. There is a verse where bhakti yoga is used in the instrumental case. Let me try to remember it for you. Mang chayo vyabhicharina. Mang chayo vyabhicharina. What? Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityaitan. Now comes Brahma Bujhaya Kalpate. By Bhakti Yoga, Sagunan Samatityaitan, one can have a lift in the lower of the lower modes, which bring the lower emotions with them, who are situated in the lower chakras. And one can come ultimately even to a state where one can transcend these emotions. Bhakti yoga must be properly applied as an instrument to help us in our emotional maturization. I'm at the moment listening to an excellent seminar of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj called, Die Before Dying. It's an intense seminar. And Maharaj very openly says something at the outset of the seminar, he says that he has observed that many devotees are not really using the spiritual science of Krishna consciousness to grow in their spiritual growth. See, my dear devotees, it's not when you want to grow, it's not just the matter of, you know, joining a movement or becoming initiated and getting a spiritual name. You really need to understand the process properly and you need to apply it. And exactly for this purpose we accept a spiritual master. We need to learn this. It's a great science. When I was young, I got a very costly violin, a Stradivari. Who knows violins? Who plays violin here? Who? Oh, but he is not there. Yeah, Dhiranita is really good. He can immediately play anything. So my grandfather was so proud of me, he gave me a Stradivari. Oh, Krishna. Shouldn't have done it. Because I even didn't know how to learn how to use, the first thing is Bogenführung. You know, the bow has to always be on one place, otherwise it would go, you know, I didn't learn this for some reason. And then I was so frustrated one day, I just batted the violin because it didn't give the desired sound, you know. I hadn't learned the science properly. So, in Krishna consciousness, all of you have been gotten the most costly Stradivari in your hand. You have to learn the science, how to use it. An ordinary violin, how much you have to learn. Ooh. Some never learn it, like me. And for this we have a spiritual master. Not to get a happy smile from him. We learn this as a professor of a science. We go and we have, Guru Maharaj, what is not working with me? I'm not feeling the intense ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Why am I so blocked in my development? Sometimes our Hare Krishna say, I tried it. Prabhus. Not so easy. After a few attempts of a person who is born in the modern Western culture, that he will have the enlightenment which the great souls are looking for. A little bit more scientific understanding is required. A little bit more determination. Jiva Goswami says the devotee should be like a person who searches for the gold. He will travel far, he will move, he will overcome the difficulties. Anyways, I would like to end my class with a very hopeful thing. In Krishna consciousness, to make the process work, two principles are essential. Only two. That is your own endeavor and someone said it. Milost. You know everything. Thank you very much. Who said? You said? We are extremely proud of you. It's the mercy. The mercy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes about this. Your own efforts he writes, just as a poverty-stricken householder goes to a rich man's door to obtain money for his family maintenance, my devotees go to the assembly of surrendered devotees with the sole intention of collecting treasures of devotional service. Afterwards, they practice. It's very interesting. Your effort should be to go to the assembly of devotees. But with what purpose, Draupadi? To collect the treasures of devotional service. We go here and we slujate, we do shravanam. Shravanam is a process of devotional service. To collect some principles, some understandings in our lives. And even if we feel devotionally very poor, oh, nothing works, everything is spent, I'm so poor. Go to the assembly of surrendered devotees and get new perspectives, new ideas in your life. And then practice. What does it mean to practice? After you have visited the assembly of the devotees, a devotee will feel like this. I resolve to daily chant a fixed number of rounds of the holy name on my beads. Resolve? Do you know what this means? To decide. I decide. And to offer a fixed number of prostrated obeisances to the Lord and the Vaishnavas. I resolve to regularly do such and such service. I will maintain my unfailing determination to keep the Ekadasi fast and other vows. And I will pay special attention to controlling my senses. Now, if you make such efforts, where Krishna really sees this devotee is... Sorry. Okay, seems to work again. This devotee has a serious intention. It is described what happens with Krishna's heart. When Krishna sees the serious intention of the devotee mixed with Shraddha, with this and feelings of hope, then Krishna's mind becomes moved. Just like our mind becomes moved by stimuli from the environment or from the remembrances, Krishna's heart or mind becomes moved and said, waves of mercy appear in God's heart, Krishna's heart. And these waves of mercy come into this material world, almost like the fresh flow of the Ganga. And they come over the devotee. And these waves of mercy will help the devotee to control his mind a little bit more. They will flood the mind and the emotions and bring him to emotional maturity, which is so important. And so on. So this mixture of the effort of the devotee, and we have talked about this effort, and on the other side this wonder of Krishna's milost. Chuda, we say, yes, this will work the required wonders in our lives. So I wish you all the best in this. endeavor. It says a preacher always preaches first to himself. I'm a person who has a lot of emotions, as some of you know. I'm trying to come to emotional maturity in my life. These are a few things which I have learned in my life. I'm presenting it for you in the sincere hope that I will support you in your own spiritual life, and that you can think deeply about these subject matters. My dear devotees, this whole cosmic creation waits for your maturity, ultimately your spiritual maturity, where you will develop spiritually, where you will become a kind-hearted Vaishnava who is loving towards Krishna, towards the other Vaishnavas. Whole world waits for you. Krishna waits for you. The great Acharyas wait for you. I would just at the end, oh Krishna, so many other subjects are around this one subject. No, I will talk about this tomorrow. I will talk about Dhruvidela, second part. Do you have any questions at this moment to the lecture? Mahachandra?
Madhu Chandra.
Madhu, oh sorry. Madhu Chandra. Yes, I know.
Would you like maybe shortly to explain these two chakras which we jumped in? Maybe how about this Sahasra chakra, how it is opening like in different tradition and also in our tradition? How is the process?
How it opens in our tradition. Mm-hmm. Okay. The center which we jumped over was the Vishuddha sattva, chakra, not sattva. This is for communication and creativity. Many people swallow a lot. They don't express their opinions. You remember that lecture maybe, the war of emotions about Kunti swallowing? Yes. When we swallow too much, our communication thing gets blocked. We cannot even talk about what is in our heart. It just doesn't come out. We are verklempt again. When this is opening, we begin to understand, oh, there's so much which I held back. It's usually very nice. I see this often with older devotees who begin to develop their own authentic voice. They find out what they can contribute, how they can communicate and relate to others. Often, I smile. I sometimes make meditational exercises with my audience to bring them to a feeling that where they can understand we are an eternal soul, you know, the first point of Krishna conscious science. We are not the body, we are the soul. And then they meditate, then they are requested to be silent. And then I relax them. And all of a sudden, it always happens, someone begins to cough like crazy. then they go out, and I have sometimes a glass of water next to the exit. They can drink a little, because this is not possible for them to meditate, and they disturb the whole thing. This means something is releasing. They are relaxing. It's a good sign, and so on. But this element, there's the element ether related to the Vishuddha chakra, and the other is the opening of the Agya chakra. You know, Krishna speaks about this when he tells that the yogis concentrate on the spot between the eyebrows in the sixth chapter. That's the Agya chakra. Some who want to use this knowledge use it while they chant. They fix themselves there, and then you will see what comes in a moment. This chakra is responsible for vision and understanding. When it is blocked, a person is often disoriented. We don't feel who we are. And we can't think clearly. It goes all over. But as this is opening, we develop our powers of understanding, and we develop a connectedness with the subject. Have you ever noticed this when you study a difficult subject? I think our Virachanda, our philosopher, sometimes you have to bring yourself to a difficult text, and sometimes you just feel like, this really doesn't tell me anything, and you are for the fifth time with a paragraph. I don't know, you are very intelligent, but it happens very often to me. When I do some reading, and but sometimes you feel such a connectedness, you just take the book, and everything is there. You know, it's not so dramatic. Unfortunately, I wish it would happen. There's an art, one of the 64 arts. You take something like this, and it's almost a download of a computer. Yes. Yes, Nam. I would really like to take a Rechnik, a Croatian Rechnik. Rechnik means dictionary, and go like, and then I could speak. My Agya chakra is not really developed enough. Madhuchanda has asked, how is the feeling of enlightenment related to the Sahasra chakra? Now, Madhuchandra, you are enlightened amongst us. You should be able to tell us. Most of the time in bhakti, our enlightenment is called the purification of the heart. It happens here. And this is what many devotees feel. Do you sometimes feel when doing a bhajan, it's opening? You can feel this? And you feel, finally I have arrived in Krishna consciousness. You feel this, huh? Sometimes. We can feel this. Or you... We are bhakti movement which has a lot to do with love, you know. Does it sound familiar? Loving devotional service? It sounds familiar. Good. Bhakti. No? But we may also have some feelings of enlightenment where we see, for instance, the super soul active everywhere. I had this feeling very strong when I came to Krishna consciousness many times. I would see all of a sudden the world around me light up. that everything is under the control of the Lord. It's a feeling which you feel here. But, my dear Bhaktas, this was just, I wanted to take you through this, but it will not be so important for you, the Sahasra Chakra. If you have a mystical inclination, like some of you, they have, you will feel it. But some of us don't, we just come from ordinary backgrounds and just don't have, we are not all like our Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who is definitely a very evolved personality and who could tell you a lot of things about this. I dropped the other things. I just wanted to go to the Sahasra Chakra to tell you how in most traditions they talk a lot about this, but we are more here and yes, but also some we are not jnanis and don't see the light. It has has a lot of the sensation of a lot of light, you see. This is the result of the jnana path or the yogi path. But we are more in the bhakti tradition. Now, I want to tell you something, Madhuchandra. It was 1.5 years ago where I became very much aware of emotions, my own emotions and the emotions of others. And I decided to make a deep study of this subject matter. It took me like 1.5 years where I really went through this and did a lot. Not so much reading, but it's very selective reading. I had people research for me because I can't read all this. I have not enough time to do reading, and I have the books. I have collected them, and I just made a few photocopies here and there. And always when I was, as I was working on it, I was thinking, can I talk about this to the devotees in our movement? Because yes, we hear about feelings, but mostly we hear about the pure feelings of the ideal feelings. I was thinking, maybe if I talk to the devotees a lot about this, they will not like to hear this. They will not be interested. You know, I was not so secure. But then I found out something, that emotions are usually, or feelings are happening very swiftly, in a matter of seconds. You know, it goes like, it's there. But if they are not controlled, what they make is, they make moods. This is a word which we use very often. Prabhu, I'm not in a good mood today. Do you speak like this in Croatian also? Yeah, I'm not in a good mood. Because emotions form to moods. And moods, Stimmungen in German language, can form into attitudes towards life. And attitudes towards life rule your whole life. So I began to see that it's very difficult to control attitudes to life. You have to begin at the emotions. And for this, I'm calling for emotional security, emotional maturity. This is something which I feel devotees need to learn. I want to give you a simple little tip. You know what is a semaphore? Oh, that's a Croatian word. Yes. Semaphore, I learned this in Serbia. So, there are three colors in the red means stop. What is the other? Yellow, I'm sorry. What does this mean? Be prepared. And then green means go. You can go. But I want to suggest to all of you to install an emotional semaphore. The first is stop. This is not good. This is not favorable. It just doesn't help me in my spiritual development. What to do? Well, it's just, it came in my mind. Okay, I just don't breathe it out. Mislite, until it is very big. You just say, it's not favorable, let me better chant now, or read, or let me be humble now, or let me, you know, do something spiritual. This is the red. Then be prepared. Prepared is the yellow domain. Where you begin to think very carefully about it. This is there. How could I deal with this situation in a Krishna conscious way? I would like to shout Gopalast, Nitkove, and so on and so forth. But I'm on red, on yellow. I let me first think about it. There's some emotions you just really go. Red, pink, and then yellow, and the others is green. Go for it, like your shirt. Your shirt is a mixture of green and yellow today. Thank you for this very attractive shirt which you are wearing today. Yes. Many times you should do the combination of the three. First, stop, let us watch this. Then yellow, let me think of a good way to deal with this. And then green, go in a good way about. Prabhus, Mataji's, highly enlightened souls, mentals, people amongst us, and skeptics. Wars have taken place because the people didn't know about the emotional semaphore. Devotees have said the wrong things because they didn't know about the emotional semaphore. Devotees have married the wrong people because they didn't know the emotional semaphore. Devotees have quarreled and left Krishna consciousness because they didn't know the emotional semaphore. It's a simple technique. It's one of the many little things which over the years, you know, when you become old, you develop your own techniques, emotional semaphore. This is a new thing in the world. It helps you a lot. Thank you, Madhuchanda, for your nice question. Govindanandan. This is, by the way, the last question. I understand that some of you have to catch buses, and that's an interesting creative thinking. I didn't want to say speculation. speculation is, it's a philosophical speculation. Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. I've never heard about this, but maybe you are correct. I'm just a little bit careful about this because it's an own science, and I'm not really an expert in this science. I'm just interested in these, in emotions, and this is what I learned about it. Tomorrow I will speak to you about favorable emotions, because that's a very interesting subject matter. And you will see, as you listen to tomorrow's lecture, these favorable emotions are well possible for you. It's not something very high. We start on a level which is really very easily possible for even a newcomer to this temple. Because we don't want to say something impractical. So you are very much invited for tomorrow. Tomorrow's lecture is a little bit more spiritual. See, when you want to talk about these subjects in greater depths, you have to not be afraid to go in some detail. But tomorrow we will go into favorable emotions, which is a little bit more. You will feel more familiar with this knowledge. I always become so charmed and enthusiastic when I see that there are areas where I can put my endeavor, my intelligence on. And this, I find, is the ongoing beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's such a rich spiritual science that it is totally fascinating. I have here so many things. I could tell you what is Ayurveda, what the Ayurveda tells about emotions. You wouldn't believe it. There are three people who are in Tamagun, three Tamagun types. Would you like to know about them tomorrow? You will find that you're sometimes the Tamaguni. And six types of Rajaguni, and nine types of Sattvaguna people. One of the Sattvaguna people is, who has Sattvaguna qualities, is a Gandharvika, an angel. And a good example of this is Gaurahari. His psychology is a little bit Gandharva type, according to the Ayurvedic constitution. Have you noticed? Or Madhati, whom you might have seen, is, where I know exactly, is Saranandi. She's also a Gandharva type person. And Anandini is also. and you will find when you... I'm sorry, I hope I didn't embarrass you. I'm so personal today, I should not talk about names. And we will also see what type of personality is Veerachanda. When you hear them, you will immediately say, that Toy Veera! It has a very good personality, very sattvic. But you might also recognize some rajasic and tamasic traits. We are unfortunately cocktails in Kali Yuga, mixtures. Dobro. So I want to thank you very much. So take two things home, emotional semaphore, and more important, endeavor, your own endeavor, so that you will get them, which Krishna sees, so that waves of his mercy come in your direction. These are two. One is a material art, a technique, and the other is a spiritual knowledge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Hari Hari Bo.